This morning we have a gospel lesson from Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered into Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of the one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possession, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
Well, I appreciate the invitation to be here this morning. I was kind of grinning while Ben was talking, thinking I always sat in the back row. So there's a bit of irony that I am standing in the front today. So in spite of the cooler weather the past few days, I've been thinking about the weather changing. Little by little, the heat is building, the grass is growing, the flowers are blooming. In my closet, the jeans and the long sleeves are being pushed aside. The shorts and the t-shirts are making it to the top of the pile. It's been getting easier to imagine that winter and spring have finally faded and summer might actually be here. This morning I walked outside and I went, "Yay, it's starting to feel like summer again after a few cold days. Things are changing." Where I work at Rocky Mountain College, things are changing there as well. It's not the same as it was just a few weeks ago. The students have vanished, and instead of being there to support students, encouraging change, being present with them as they transition from who they've been into who they're becoming, the tasks have evolved into those mundane end-of-the-year tasks. Assessments that help us set goals, budgets that help us zero out the fiscal year, all of those sorts of things are changing. In our scripture reading this morning, we also heard of things changing. In the story of Zacchaeus, when Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name, the person who climbs down the tree is not the same as the person who climbed up the tree. As we listen to that story, we not only hear of the change in Zacchaeus' life, but I believe we also are challenged to consider change, to think about those places in our own lives where change is possible. With Zacchaeus, we're called to respond, and we're called to change. As we think about change this morning, there's another story that I like to tell, that for me often serves as a metaphor for change. So between my senior year of high school and my first year of college, I decided to end my summer with an adventure together with 20 other kids in my high school youth group. I spent time hiking the Continental Divide in Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado. Now, on this particular day, we were nearing the end of what was a 10-day trip, and we knew that we would be staying the night at a campground with sinks and flush toilets, and that was going to be the first time in about a week and a little more that we had had those sorts of accommodations, and we were all very excited. But we were also worn out, and anything that could go wrong was going wrong, from broken straps on our packs to turned ankles, bleeding cuts, leaking water bottles. It felt like we were getting nowhere as we hiked down the trail. And then Dan, who was a member of our group, started experiencing pain in his lungs, And we needed to stop a lot just to let him catch his breath. And then apparently we got lost. We were hiking above tree line along a ridge, picking out the stacks of rocks marking the trail. Had gotten harder and harder to do. We knew we needed to drop down to be down there somewhere, but we had no idea. We couldn't see the path. And when our leader started like holding out the map like this, I think we have a problem, right? So the adults presented the facts to us. It's late in the day. Dan's condition is worrying. We don't know where we are. We have a vague sense of where we need to end up, but we have no idea how to get there, whether to go forward, whether to go back to try to find the trail. We can't stay where we are, but we don't know what steps we need to take. Do we split the group? Do we stay? Do we go? And I can remember sitting there just kind of picking up rocks and throwing them until it was decided we would stay where we are. Rather than risk getting more disoriented, we were going to quit looking for the trail to our designated campsite with the flush toilets and the sinks, and we would just make the best of it. So we scouted out a place, and we pitched our tents, and we did okay until sometime in the middle of the night when a storm blew in, and we realized that we were in probably the absolutely worst location. We were entirely unprotected on top of a ridge, and the rain and the wind swept across. It collapsed our tents, flooded the campsite, and as the darkness wore on, as will happen in the Rocky Mountains, the rain turned to sleet and then to snow, and the temperatures plummeted, and there we were, perched on this rocky slope, wet, soaking, freezing. It was really kind of a dangerous situation. You're in the middle of it, you don't think about it at the time, but I think back on that now at how dangerous that really was and the difficulties we really could have been in the middle of. I remember working out in the middle of the dark, in the rain, in the snow, trying to reassemble tents that we kind of huddled into together, soaking wet and shivering and thinking, what else is going to go wrong, right? What else can possibly happen? And nothing. We made it through the night. The next morning, a park ranger met us. I guess when 20 youth don't show up at their designated campsite, Forest Service, or Park Service rather, will worry about you and they will come looking. He arranged a medical evacuation for Dan, who just had pleurisy, I guess. I shouldn't say just had pleurisy, but he got evacuated off the mountain. And then he escorted us to the trail and down, and within an hour or two of hiking, the adventure was over. And there we were. That afternoon, dried off, warmed up, we were going through our wet things, airing our tents and our sleeping bags, and I found a rock in the pocket of my pants that I had been wearing, and I recognized it as just one of those that I had picked up and thrown down while we were waiting along the trail. And it was nothing special to look at, but I kept that rock with me in my pocket for a long time because it reminded me that the person who hiked up the mountain wasn't the same as the person who hiked down. I had learned a few things, like life is fragile, mountains don't care if you get lost. I learned that most of us are tougher than we think when we work together. We not only survive, we accomplish great things. I learned that the world can be scary and horrible, but also astonishing and incredible, more incredible than I would have believed. I learned that sometimes, not always, but sometimes, staying where you are is not the best option. I learned, really, that in an adventure like that, the person who hiked up the mountain wasn't the same as the person who hiked down, and there were important things that happened. Now, I want to keep that thought there for a minute. I'm going to come back to it. But first, I want to tell you about another moment. Ironically, at the end of this same trip, the youth leader called us all together for a last message to challenge us before we went off to school. And he said, basically, when you go to college, you're going to be faced with dangers and temptations. Your friends are going to want you to drink. They're going to encourage you to walk away from your faith. But I tell you, don't change, right? It's a big, bad world out there. Don't change. Well, I'm pretty sure that that I can let you in on this secret. When I went off to college, out in that big bad world, I changed quite a bit. And I'm really glad that I did. And while I do understand the point that the youth pastor was trying to make, I also know that it was pretty short-sighted advice, wasn't it? Because in addition to all of those temptations that he seemed to be so worried about, I was also faced with some amazing challenges and opportunities. The big bad world was also breathtaking and filled with wonderful people and defining decisions and life-changing moments and world-expanding diversity and experiences. So I never carried a rock in my pocket to remind me of my college days, but if I did, it would remind me that the person who walked in the door wasn't the same as the person who walked out the door 4 years later. I had learned a few things, like sometimes God can be found in unexpected places. I can listen to people I might not agree with. I can respect people I might not like. I can live with people who are annoying and survive. I learned that what I have always been told may or may not be what I continue to believe, that there are always new ideas, new ways of looking at things. There's more to know, more to discover, more to dream. I learned that life can be scary and horrible, but also astonishing and more incredible than I would have ever believed. I learned that I could trust the good news, that hope is in my life, that God was with me in each of those places, just as God is here in the midst of us now. Every time I thought I was lost on the trail, the voice of God called to me, kind of like Jesus calls to Zacchaeus, reminding me that sometimes staying where you are is not the best option. You have to change. So like we hear in the story of Zacchaeus, we're called to respond. We're called to change. The person who walks up the mountain isn't the same as the person who walks down. The person who walks in the door isn't the same as the person who walks out. And in the case of Zacchaeus, the person who climbs the tree isn't the same as the person who hits the ground. Now, when I'm working with students in the higher education environment, I like to keep those stories in mind. I don't tell them very often, but they do inform my thinking because they serve as a metaphor for understanding change. And there's a lot of change for college students to understand. Now, when I started out in higher ed ministry almost 20 years ago, it was common to use the term liminality or liminal change to define the experience for college students. It's as if saying students are caught in the doorway, in between who they've been and who they are becoming, even though they don't know the destination. Liminal change challenges us to take steps to keep walking. We may not know exactly what the end result is, but we know that there's an end result there. Today, it's much more common to understand that college students are actually in the midst of something we call adaptive change. Adaptive change is required when the way we've always done it is no longer working. We don't know what to do because we've never done it that way before. The problems can't be solved by an authority with expertise because no one knows yet what the new standard operating procedures will be. In higher ed, we are now recognizing that students need to adapt. They need to learn new attitudes and new behaviors in order to survive in a new and ever-changing environment more than ever before. So while before we could say, okay, liminal change, this is what you experience in that space in between leaving behind the familiar territory and entering that new chapter in life, adaptive change brings us to an entirely new place where we don't know where we are. We may have a vague sense of where we're heading, but we have no idea how to get there because we've never been there before. We can't stay where we are, but we don't know yet what steps to take. So in the midst of that kind of adaptive change, I often find myself reminding students that while change can be painful, uncomfortable, disorienting, it's also really important. when I think back to that admonition of don't ever change, I can't imagine why it would seem like a good idea to stay the same forever. At some point, we've got to journey down the trail. We can't stay in the tree. We've got to grow. We've got to move. Even when it's unfamiliar and you don't know where you're going, there are times when staying where we are is the worst possible thing we can do. So for students in the midst of change, sometimes the best I can say is make peace with disruption. Embrace the not knowing. Celebrate the idea that in the midst of transition, anything can happen. Because your lives are not defined, you're surrounded by possibility. You can go anywhere. Lou Gerstner, CEO of IBM, is often considered the guru of adaptive change. He's credited with guiding IBM through a very iconic and difficult period of change. According to Gerstner, I think that my leadership style is to get people to fear staying in place, to fear not changing. Also, according to Gerstner, the best approach to adaptive change involves keeping sight of what will not be changing, using values, defined standards, and clear goals to lead your decision-making or to provide a consistent view of the steps you're taking or the direction you're heading, even though you don't know yet where you will actually end up or what the outcomes will be. If you take each step guided by what you do know, what you don't know will become clearer with each step you take. To fear staying in place, to fear not changing. Now, I bring all of this up because I have become really convinced that following God is all about adaptive change. And for those of us who live and work around God, we might as well make some peace with that. From Sunday to Sunday, we hear stories of change. Jesus instructing and challenging, offering a new command to love one another, a new covenant not of the letter but of the spirit. The Pharisees, the church people, are often amazed to see Jesus healing and teaching with an authority that they've never seen before. The fishermen are told to leave their nets and fish for people. The paralytic is told to pick up his mat and go. I think from Sunday to Sunday, we are hearing stories that are about adaptive change. And those who encounter Jesus are never the same. They're not who they were. They're asked to enter unfamiliar territory, to take steps toward becoming who Jesus is calling them to be. They know they can't stay where they are, but they don't know yet how to get there. All they can do is follow and trust that with God's help, with Jesus' help, they will figure it out. They're called to respond. They're called to change. That actually, allegedly, according to legend, is the tree that Zacchaeus climbed. That's what legend will tell us. So there's a tree that's probably a bit bigger than it was when Zacchaeus climbed it. And when you look at that tree, I actually have a little sympathy for Zacchaeus. You know, he's serious enough about seeing Jesus that he gets up into that tree. But as far as we know, he didn't really have an end goal in mind. He's just watching the crowd, minding his business, when Jesus stops and calls him by name and then invites himself over for lunch. At this point, Zacchaeus kind of has a choice, doesn't he? He can say, oh no, Jesus, that's not going to happen. I can't invite you over to lunch. I'm not ready. Or he could go, okay, come on over, but don't expect anything from me. Oh, what are we doing? Or, as we kind of hear, it's this, okay, here we go. We better get on with it. Change is on the way. Here are the first steps that I'm going to take toward embracing that change. Now, I don't want to suggest that this sort of change was easy for Zacchaeus. As a matter of fact, like any adaptive change, I'm sure that this was scary and painful and uncomfortable and disorienting. I also don't want to suggest that we get the full story of what's going on with Zacchaeus. I mean, we're not told what happens next. Does he go back to his job? Does he leave it all behind to follow Jesus? Does he stop seeming like such a little man when he takes such big steps toward making amends? Do the grumblers begin to think differently about Zacchaeus? Does he sustain the change, or does he miss out on being rich and go back to where he was before? The story, as it's presented to us, is just the beginning. We see Zacchaeus heading in the right direction, but we aren't told what the outcomes actually are. We only know that when he leaves the tree, the person who climbs down is not the same as the person who climbed up the tree. So, why am I telling you all of this? What's the good news for us today, sitting here? Well, I think in the church, we can't be afraid of change. As a matter of fact, if the stories in the Gospels are any indication, we need to expect it. We need to embrace it. If we're listening to the voice of God calling to us and calling us by name, we're asked to respond to that. We're called to change. Now, figuring out what that change might be is much harder to determine, isn't it? Maybe the change is sitting in the front row. Maybe the change is doing more toward social justice. Maybe the change is doing less and learning how to sit back, to be, to listen. Maybe the change is something that at this point you can't even anticipate, but you know you have to be ready for it when it calls to you. And perhaps that change is going to be painful, uncomfortable, and disorienting, but we really don't have an alternative because we've got to journey down the trail eventually. We can't stay in the tree. Now, it seems to me in the church we are uniquely suited for making peace with disruption, embracing the not knowing, and celebrating that with God all things are possible. I think we're uniquely suited for keeping sight of what will not be changing, using values, defined standards, and clear goals to lead our decision making or to provide that consistent view of the direction we're heading, even though we don't know yet where we will actually end up or what the outcomes will be. We're uniquely suited for believing that if we take each step guided by what we do know, what we don't know will become clearer with each step we take, where we can be better at recognizing the future's not defined. We can go anywhere at this point. So the good news, my message often to college students, the one that I wish that I had heard 35 years ago, back in the day, is this. It's when you go out into the big bad world, stuff's going to happen. You're going to change. You're going to be faced with things that are painful, uncomfortable, disorienting. But no matter what, you can trust in that hope that God is with you, that God calls you by name. You can always know that. God is closer than you think, and if you take each step guided by the knowledge that God is with you, it makes that change far easier to face. So for this comfort and for this challenge, thanks be to God.